If you'd take your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. We've been preaching through this book of the Bible on Sunday mornings and going verse by verse through the Word of God together. I believe that's what God would have us to do and to know and to see is what He said in His Word. And we've come to some of the words again of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we're starting to read in verse 31. That's where we left off. John 8:31. And the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I want to preach to you this morning from this text that Jesus Christ spoke so many years ago on true freedom, and ask you, are you really free? Are you free? Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God this morning. We have a copy of it. There are so many people around this world that do not have a copy of Your Word. And Lord, we're privileged to have one, and we thank You for it, and we ask that we not only have it in our hands, but our minds and hearts would be open to what You'd have to say to us today. And Lord, I pray for that one that's with us today, maybe many that are in bondage. They don't know what it means to be free, free on the inside. I pray, Lord, today they would find that freedom in the truth and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would You please, even as You did so many years ago when You preached, would You please loose those that are bound in the chains of their sin, whoever that might be, and may we find all that we need in life and godliness at Your feet. We'll thank You for it. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about freedom. Anybody in here this morning cold? Anybody cold? Anybody? Okay. Anybody hot? All right. So that's about half and half. Everybody else is just right. Some places crank up the air condition to keep people awake. I know that's not your problem, but you know, I'm thankful for being free. Amen. I'm thankful that I was born in America. I've lived many places in the world, and I've visited many more places in the world, and I know what it's like, and I've seen the results of what it's like not to be free. But you know, when Jesus Christ was preaching this message, he's communicating to them a deeper truth than just the nation that they belong to. He was talking to them about real freedom. And the truth is today that there are a lot of people that live in the land of the home of the brave, the land of the free, or the land of free, the home of the brave. And yet we in America are in bondage in many cases. Jesus said that your freedom is not going to come from a political movement or what type of, if you're in a democracy or if you're whatever nation you find, it's not a political thing. It's something that only can come from the truth, only that can come from Me. I was privileged this past week as I was preaching a missionary conference, and I heard the testimony. And I don't know how we're going to be able to do it, but I really want to support this young man that's going with his family to be a missionary to China, because he's Chinese, and he was led to Christ by the missionary that we supported there for so many years, Brother Lawman. Many of you may remember Brother Lawman. And they kicked Brother Lawman out of the country, and the police came in and shut down the church and all that. And as China's doing right now, there's a very strong arm there, and the president has made himself the president for life. They're cracking down on, and he was beginning telling some of that story. But this Chinese man that got led to Christ, and he came, he was trained by Brother Lawman, but came over to the States just for a couple of years to just really sharpen himself as a student of the Word and make sure he understood everything about, and he didn't speak English very well, but he did speak English. A sharp young man, his heart was tender, but as he showed his presentation, and much of that was leaked out of China, and it showed literally the Chinese police coming in and dragging people out of the church house and beating them and tearing up their property and stealing everything that was in the church. And I thought, what a tragic thing to live in a place where there would be no freedom to worship God. We have no fear that the authorities will come in here and start dragging us out one by one. But that fear is in a lot of places today, that they do not enjoy the freedom that we enjoy. But when I thought about that, I thought about those many of those believers that were suffering in those cases. Though they may live in a terrible society that is run by communism on the inside, I think many of them probably have more freedom than a lot of people that live in the nation that we live in. Because freedom is not something that's on the outside. It's something that's on the inside. You look at all the nations of this world and how communism has taken away the freedoms of so many, and that's a terrible thing. But it's also a terrible thing to see people's lives controlled by their sin, to see people's lives controlled by the devil, to see people's lives controlled where they're addicted to so many things, not just as a substance I'm talking about, but sin itself. And as Jesus Christ preached to these Jews, he began talking to them about freedom. And he told them this in verse 32, if you'd look at it. He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the Jews would have never said they didn't have the truth. They had the Bible when the rest of the world didn't even have the Bible. I'm sure they would boast about the fact that they had the truth. But it's one thing to have the truth and another thing to accept the truth and to respond to the truth. He said, and to really know the truth. To know the truth in a way in your heart, not just know it in your head, but know it in your heart. Jesus is telling them that freedom, look at verse 32 again, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It is God's truth that makes people free. It is God's word that makes people free. Matter of fact, when the Bible talks about itself, in James 1:25, the Bible calls itself the perfect law of liberty. You know what the devil will do? The devil will come to people just like he did to Eve, and he'll say, you know, God is too restrictive. The truth of God is restrictive. It's harmful for you. God's trying to keep things away from you that you want, that you aspire to have or aspire to be. And it's so restrictive, and it's binding you up. And if you'll just sin, if you'll just do what you want to do, you'll have this great freedom. And yet the exact opposite is true. The Word of God brings liberty in your life. The Word of God brings freedom in your heart. Not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to do right. It's called the perfect law of liberty. And this morning, it doesn't matter who you are or what's going on in your life, if your life is not connected to the truth of God, you are not free. Because it is the truth that makes you free. So many people feel bound up on the inside. Why is that? It's not because of a circumstance of life. It's because the truth is what makes us free, and a lot of people will not respond to that truth. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Look at 2 Corinthians, would you? Chapter 3 in your Bible. Liberty, freedom, true freedom comes from the truth. And if you don't respond to the truth, you will not know freedom in your life. It does not matter if you live in America. It does not matter if you're on the back 40 somewhere just doing whatever you want to do. You're not going to be free on the inside. Jesus is telling these Jews that. Not just holding that truth in your hand, but having it in your heart, responding it in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a great text about the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Look at verse 6, he says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, "Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament." So he's talking about the Word of God, the New Testament, the Bible. And he speaks about that. He talks about in verse 14, their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. So he's talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Now watch it now. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He talks about the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. And then he says, in that discussion, the Spirit of the Lord is going to bring liberty in your life. Where is the Spirit of God? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Notice, he did not say where there is liberty, there is the Spirit of the Lord. He said, no, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's why Paul and Silas are in the jailhouse. And they're chained. And they're even in the lowest prison. That's why Daniel, they can throw him in jail. That's why Joseph, they can throw him in jail. But wherever the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. If it's in communist China, if it's in communist Vietnam, if it's in communist Cuba, if it's in North Korea, where they don't have freedom to do anything, if the Spirit of God is there, there is liberty. But if the Spirit of God is not there, if the Spirit of God is not in your life, you'll have no freedom. You'll have no liberty in your life. If the Spirit of God's not in your home, there won't be any freedom or liberty in your home. But now, wait a minute. What's the context? He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Well, where is the Spirit of God? Now, we know if we're saved, if you know you're born again, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, lives within your heart. So there's liberty in here. There's freedom in here. But in the context of Second Corinthians chapter 3, the context is the reading again of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know where the Spirit of God is? The Spirit of God's in this book. You know this is not just a book. This is alive. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's why you can read this Bible, and you read it, you can read it 400 times, and you can go back the 401st time, and God Almighty will give you something different out of it, because the Bible is alive. Amen. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the Spirit of God that breathed this book. It's the Spirit of God that gave this book. The Holy Ghost is in the book. The Holy Ghost, that's why they're forever. That's why they're preserved. That's why you can't change them. You can burn all the Bibles in the world, but you can't burn the Spirit of God that spoke them. You can't burn the truth. Jesus said that truth will set you free. Wouldn't it be good if men and women and boys and girls and teenagers would come to the Bible and come to that Spirit of God that's in these words and let that Spirit just touch their heart and touch their mind and bring freedom on the inside? You know what the devil does? Devil keeps people away from the Bible. He didn't care if you go to church, but he doesn't want you in the Bible, because in the Bible's freedom. In the Bible's the Spirit of God. In the Bible's the truth. That's why we've got all types of religions and all types of churches. And they have all types of programs and presentations. But unless that Bible is being presented and preached and given to man, there's no freedom on the inside. There's only bondage. The Spirit of God is in this book, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Have you responded to the Word of God? What place does the Bible, what place does the truth have in your life? And that will be the determining factor of how much freedom you have in your life. Man says he wants freedom, but usually he wants freedom from God. Freedom to do whatever he wants to do. That's not what we're talking about. And Jesus is trying to communicate to them. Now watch how they respond to him. He tells them, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And verse 33, the Bible says this, and it says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? This freedom that comes from the truth, this freedom is offered to the people that are in bondage. But the people that are in bondage aren't aware that they're in bondage. Jesus comes to the Jews and he says, the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. And they said, what are you talking about? We're free. We already are free. They didn't even know they were in bondage. They didn't know they were even shackled and chained up. They thought they were free. It would be like going to an American and say, I'm praying for your freedom. And they look at you and say, freedom? I eat what I want to eat. I go where I want to go. I do what I want to do pretty much. I do have freedom. It would be like Jesus coming to the United States of America and saying, I tell you what America needs, what the United States needs. The United States needs freedom. And we'd say, what are you talking about? We're not in bondage to any man. And Jesus said, oh, though you think you're free, you are still in bondage. You're not free because freedom is not on the outside, on the inside. Notice the denial. We be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. Boy, they got a short circuit in their brain with that. I think I remember something about Egypt. We've never been in bondage to any man. I think I remember Pharaoh. I think I remember all those years you were made a taskmaster and all the bricks you had to make and all the buildings and pyramids and all that other stuff that were made on your back as slaves in Egypt. Did you forget about that? And you know, Jesus didn't even chide him. He didn't even argue with him. He didn't even argue with him. Because it was such a ludicrous statement. Because not only had they been in bondage to Egypt, listen now, not only had they been in bondage to Egypt, they had been taken into captivity by Assyria. They had also been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Remember that? The Babylonians just took them. I mean, they made them slaves. Nebuchadnezzar took them back. You remember the story of Daniel and those three Hebrew? That was all the bondage of the children of Israel. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. They were in bondage to those kings and really the present situation that they were in. They didn't really have freedom with Rome. They could do a few things, but Rome was really in charge of what they did. Rome could have, and they were going to stop them at any time, doing whatever they wanted to stop because they were in bondage to Rome. That's why they had to pay taxes. By the way, the next time you think you're free, you really think you're free on the outside, y'all just jot down this little reference in the Bible. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 26. You know what it says? It talks about paying taxes, and it says, you know, if you're free, you don't have to pay taxes. Let me ask you a question. Does your land belong to you? Does your house belong to you? I mean, even if you've got it paid off, okay? Even if you paid the bank off, you still have to pay taxes on your property. Well, is that really your property? If you quit paying taxes, you'll find out whose property it is. You know what freedom? Jesus even taught, he said, you know, that paying the taxes, the children are free. And the whole discussion was taxes. You know what the Jews had to do? They had to pay taxes to Rome. You know why? They were in bondage to Rome. If Rome said pay up, they paid up. You know, if you're a government, and I know no taxation without representation, but the truth is, if those people over there in Washington, D.C. stand up and pass a tax that you got to give half of everything you make next year, no matter what your income is, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to do what they say. Or you're going to lose what you have. You know why? Because you're not really that free. Man talks himself into thinking he's free. And those Jews said, we've not been in bondage to any man. They not only had been in bondage to three different nations, they were in bondage presently with Rome, but they were in denial of that fact. But there's a greater truth here. Jesus said in verse 34, would you look at it, when he responds to what they say in denial that they're not in bondage, that they really are free. They don't need his freedom. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Jesus is talking about bigger bondage than to Rome and bigger bondage to the king of Babylon and bigger bondage than they had down in Egypt. He's talking about the bondage that comes about because of sin and how many people are in denial that sin is running their life. Sin is in control of their mind. Sin is in control of their heart. You know you're in bondage when you wake up in the morning and you think about your sin. And you go through the day and you think about your sin. And you go to bed at night and you're thinking about your sin. Sin has mankind in bondage. And Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now who would stand up this morning and say, preacher, I've never had a problem with sin. We've all had a problem with sin. We've all committed sin because there's something broken on the inside of humanity. There's something wrong with our hearts and our lives. That's why we need the truth to make us free. That's why we need Jesus to set us free. Every man is in need of freedom from what? Freedom from the sins that bind our lives. Say, what sins are you talking about, preacher? You're talking about those people that are addicted to drugs and they can't get off drugs, or people that are addicted to booze and they can't get off their booze, and every waking minute they're thinking about it, or they just can't get away from it, or as much as they try to do good, they go right back to it because that booze or those substances are controlling them and binding them up, and they can't live their life without them. You talking about that? I'm talking about that, and I'm talking about much more than that. You know, a lot of people are in bondage to their own pride. They're in bondage to their own sin of their self-centered life that is also sin. And every day they get up not thinking about a drug or not thinking about tobacco or not thinking about booze, but they get up every day thinking about themselves. And they live a whole life addicted to themselves, and to feed their own flesh and to give themselves whatever they want. We have a world, I think you would be aware of it, I think you would recognize it. We have a world that is addicted to fornication. We have a world that is addicted to adultery. We have a world that is addicted to pornography. It drives society. It drives the commercial industry. It drives the internet. You know, the greatest amount of visits on the internet, the greatest amount of traffic on the internet is to pornography. And it is just a testimony to the heart of people who are in bondage to their sin. They can't help but go back and click on it. And Jesus says, you Jews think you're free, but sin's running your life. Sin is controlling your life. Sin is in control of your heart and your mind and your motivation. Not just that, how about money? Some people control by money. Some people would leave a good church and take another job if the money was right. Some people would lose all their standards and all their sense of decency if the money was right. Some people are addicted to the things of life and the prosperity of life and the success of life. We have, I think, you know, they're even starting. I got it today. I didn't put it on my phone, but my phone updated itself or whatever. You know what? I've been getting these notifications of my phone of how much screen time I've had. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I said, "What's it?" I told myself, "What's this thing on my phone?" He said, "Well, you can take that off." I didn't even know it was on there, and it told me how much screen time I had. And you know why they do that? We live in a world where people are addicted to a screen. You know, the majority of people, if you had to put down your phone or your computer for a week, you'd go nuts. You're just addicted to it. I got to have it. I got to do it. I got to play it. I got to read it. I got to text it. I got to blog it. I got to post it. You know, there was a day that we didn't do none of that. And our lives were okay. There was a day we didn't even have phones outside of the house with a cord on it. These young people, they laugh. They think, what are you talking about? And we survive. There are addictions today, and it all has to do with my heart is given to everything but God. And Jesus says the truth can set you free from the other things that are really running your life. So many people think they're running their life. They're not running their life. Sin's running their life. The styles of the world are running their life. The religions of the world or Hollywood's running their life. So many things run people's lives. And Jesus says, you're in bondage. You are not free in your life. You're being controlled by something or someone else. And Jesus Christ said, you need the truth. You need the truth to control your life. You need God to control your life. Look at Romans chapter 6. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Romans chapter 6, the Bible tells us and shows us that we can have freedom in Jesus Christ. Your life doesn't have to be run by all that stuff. Some people's lives are run by their bitterness. Some people's lives are run by their own anger. It's all the same thing. It's just sin running your life. You're a slave to sin. And Jesus said it doesn't have to be that way. You can have freedom. Jesus said, I can take those chains off of you. But you've got to understand they're there. How many people have an addiction and they say, oh, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. I watch TV 8 hours a day, but I don't have a problem with that. I eat 40 bags of potato chips a day, but I don't have a problem with potato chips. I'm just telling you, people are in denial about their own problems. You understand what I'm saying? I smoke 10 packs a day, but I don't have a problem with them. I just like to do it. People are in denial about what really controls them. And the truth is, if God Almighty doesn't control you, you are out of control. You know where I'll be tonight? I'll be in church. You know, by the grace of God, if I'm not dead or sick or in the hospital, you know where I'll be Wednesday night? I'll be in church. If by the grace of God, if I'm not dead or sick or in the hospital. And you know why? Because I just want God to control my life. I'm not just going to do what I want to do. I want Him to be in charge of everything about me. I don't want to be in control. Because when I try to get in control, I'm out of control. Romans chapter 6, look at it, would you? He said in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. God wants us to live in victory over those sins that keep us in bondage. Look at verse 18. He said, being then made free from sin. There's the real freedom. You became the servants of righteousness. You see, when you quit being a servant to your sin, you can start serving what's right. You can start serving the Lord. He said in verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. And then he said in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God and have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. Why are people's lives so messed up? Because they are serving sin. And they're not serving Christ. They've not yielded their heart to the truth. Freedom comes from the truth. Freedom is offered to those that are in bondage. Would you look back at our text in John 8? He says something else about that bondage. He said in John chapter 8, verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. Now get the context. He just said in verse 34, if you commit sin, you're a servant of sin. And he says the very next verse, the servant abideth not in the house forever. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying God is not always going to put up with your sin. He's not going to let you stay in the house. The servant, that servant of sin, the servant abideth not in the house forever. You know what? Israel, the Jews, thought that they had this special relationship with God. And certainly they did. We know that based on the Old Testament. But you know what God tells the Jewish people? He tells the Jewish people just ultimately what He tells every man. You're not going to stay in My house with your sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever. If you want to serve sin, you're not going to stay in My house. And we know what happened with the people of Israel. They lost that house of God in Jerusalem. And they lost that relationship with God. And that covenant of God was broken with them in the rejection of Christ, in the rejection of the truth. And when you serve sin, you're going to lose out on all the blessings of God in His house. He said, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If you get the Son in your life, if you get the Son of God in your heart, He's going to be there forever. And He's saying, what you need to replace that sin with the Son of God. That really, ladies and gentlemen, that really is the question. Do you want sin or do you want the Son of God? That's the question that He's posing to these people. Look at verse 36. Jesus says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He says, only I can make you free. Freedom comes from the truth, but freedom comes from the Son of God. Only I can make you free. I heard the story of, this was a little overwhelming last week. There was a man there that was Vietnamese. He was actually a Canadian, but he was a Vietnamese, and he gave this story. He wasn't really publicizing, but the pastor found out, and then he told everybody this story. How many of you now, if you were born after 1978, you probably won't know what I'm talking about. But there is an iconic photograph in the culture of America that has to do with the Vietnam War. It's the picture of the napalm girl. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a girl right there in Vietnam standing there naked because the bomb dropped and it burned off all her clothes and her body had all these third-degree burns. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. It's a tragic story. Well, everybody assumed that that woman died. She didn't die. As a matter of fact, the Vietnamese man that was in church this past week was her son. And he began telling the testimony of how his mother, after that event, that some American soldiers had come in and actually ushered her out. Listen to this. And some of them gave their lives to save some of those people upon whom the napalm was dropped, some of the civilians that were just caught up in that. And I thought to myself, you know, freedom's not free. It costs somebody something. It cost Jesus everything for you. It costed everything for me. And those soldiers ushered that little girl out with many others to the peril of their own lives. And her life was saved. They put her in the hospital for I don't know how many months. I forget the story. But she had all these burns. They thought she was surely going to die. She lived. And the doctors just worked on her. And she finally came to health. And she dedicated her life to be a doctor from that point on because of how they had saved her life. And so she went to the communist government. She says, I want to be a doctor. And so they found out who she was, and they said, no, you're not going to be a doctor. You're going to be, in our propaganda tool, you're going to be a spokesman for communism. And they used her for most of her life to be a spokesperson about how bad America was and how great communism was. And here's our trophy of the Vietnam War. And it just destroyed her life. Finally, after so many years, they let her go pursue her dream. And she went to Cuba, another communist country, because that's the only place they let her go to be a doctor. And she met another Vietnamese man there. And the long story short was that through a series of events, somebody gave her the gospel. And she got saved. And then she witnessed to her husband, and he got saved. And one day on the trek going back and forth those communist countries, it landed, I forget, maybe one of the Danish countries. It landed one of the Danish countries, and they walked off, and they left. And they never came back. And they never went back to the communist country. And then they had a child, and this young man, he also received Christ. And now he's a missionary. He's going back to the Far East to be a missionary. And that's a wonderful story. But that free, if it was not for Jesus Christ, that woman would have nothing. If it was not for Jesus Christ, even if she had become a doctor, she'd live her life and she'd die, and without Jesus, she'd go to hell for the rest of her life. The thing that she needed was not freedom. The thing that she needed was not those soldiers to drag her out of the fire. The thing that she needed what was not just to live or to be able to go to Canada or America or wherever. The thing that she needed most of all in her life, she needed Jesus. And Jesus came to her and brought that gospel to her through another individual. And she found real freedom on the inside. It changed her life. It changed her eternity. And Christ said, if the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what you're doing in your life. Do you have freedom from Christ on the inside? Romans 8:2, the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He said to heal the brokenhearted. He said to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And my friend, what we have today, and it's not just in war-torn nations, and it's not just with the poor. We have people living all around us. We probably have people in this very service this morning that have been bruised with sin, that have been put in chains by sin, that their hearts need to be healed from the wickedness of sin that's got them captive by the devil at his own will. And Jesus said, I'm your answer. I'm the answer for your life. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. They came to Paul one day and they said, you say you're free. He said, I'm free. Acts 22. They said, you know, the one soldier said, I paid a lot of money for this freedom. You know what Paul said? Listen to him. He said, but I was freeborn. Now, the ramifications of that, In the day of Rome and being a Roman and who your parents were, and sort of like you, if your parents are American, or just one of them, you're freeborn. Well, you know how it is with God? It's the same with God, but just in a little different wise. The Bible says you need to be born again. You've got to be born again. You must be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God wants to bring a new birth in your life. This freedom is not turning over a new leaf. This freedom is coming to the Son of God and changing families and being born into His family and have that Spirit of God put on the inside. I wonder, are you saved this morning? Do you have freedom? The last thing I want to say to you. This is sad. Would you get Galatians 5? Galatians chapter 5. Hold your finger there in John. We'll read one more verse in John. Galatians chapter 5. This is the sad thing. I've met a lot of people that are free, but they voluntarily go back to their source of bondage. You know, I'm sure that napalm girl, if you were able to talk to her and you ask her, would you like to go back to Vietnam? Not for love nor money would she want to go back to Vietnam. No way I'm going to go back there. That was the ruinous part of life. I'd never go back to Vietnam. Why would I want to go back to Vietnam? Those people that escaped from North Korea, they don't want to go back to North Korea. How dumb would that be, huh? Oh, yeah, I want to go back to North Korea. No. You remember when the Iron Curtain was up? People died trying to get through the curtain. If you'd have gone to them and said, hey, would you like to go back? Well, of course I don't want to go back. Because there's no freedom there. There's bondage there. Let me ask you a question. If you've been saved by the grace of God, if the Son of God has set you free, if the Word of God has set you free, why would you want to go back to a place of bondage? Why would you want to go back to a place where you started serving sin again? Would you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1? He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, look, if Jesus has made it free, why would you want to go back to communism? Why would you want to go back to sin running your life? And I'm telling you, just as well as I'm standing here today, church, that there are people that have been saved by the grace of God, and God has removed the shackles of the penalty of sin in their life, and they're going to heaven just as surely as you or I are. But they've gone back, many of them, and they put the shackles back on their own lives and started serving sin again instead of serving the Lord Jesus. Go back to our text in John 8 and compare that with this verse. Look at it. It's really the first verse, and I didn't even start commenting on that when we began. It's verse 31. Jesus said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. You see that? The previous verse told us that there were many that had believed on Christ. And so He begins this conversation and He speaks to those that had believed on Him. And He says this, look at the word, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Jesus says, you guys that have believed on Me, you've got to continue in My word, not to be saved, but to be a disciple. Listen here, you know this, it's a great different thing to be a child of God and be a disciple of God. It's a different thing to be saved and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm following Jesus Christ, that means wherever He goes, I'm going there. Whatever he's doing, I'm doing. Whatever he's involved in, I'm in. Let me ask a question. Are you saved this morning? That's a good, that's the most important question. But the second question is, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you really a follower of Jesus Christ? You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not continuing in the things that he says. If you're not continuing in his word. If you're not continuing in the truth. Because the truth makes us free. And there's a lot of people that have believed on the Lord, but somewhere down the road, they quit following the truth. And instead of serving Christ and following Christ, they're serving their sin. And they're following their sin. And they're following the things of this world, or they're following something else they're after. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That early church in Acts, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship steadfastly. That Bible tells us to continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of. Look, the devil, if you're saved, the devil, he can't get your soul, but he can work overtime to get you to follow anything else but Jesus Christ. And I tell you this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus and I'm not turning back. By the grace of God, I'm not turning back, because there's only bondage in turning back. There's only servitude to sin and servitude to the flesh and servitude to the devil in this world. He says, I want you to continue in my word. You've believed on me. But I want you to exhort you to continue in the faith. And don't go back to a path of bondage and life. I'm not sure how many saved people are really following Jesus Christ, but following some other path, some other desire. And I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm here this morning, if you follow anything but Jesus Christ, there will be no freedom in that. There will be no liberty in that. If Christ Jesus the Lord does not control your heart, you're in bondage. And the greatest life in the world is following Jesus. Are you his disciple? Are you going where he wants you to go and being what he wants you to be and doing what he wants you to do? Are you committed to him? If you are, there's freedom in that. If you're not, there's no question why you're miserable.